This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
It's Jimmy from Boston. Bisc, you may have a lot on your mind now that you're all Larry La La Land and shit, but that is no excuse for missing Petey admit that he had his sister-in-law rub baby powder on his fucking feet. That disturbing admission needed your utmost attention and deserved a serious inquisition. I don't know if I'm more concerned about Petey's talcum toe tussle or your lack of awareness on such an uncomfortable confession. Focus up, will you, kid?
What, I mean, what the hell's going on?
What's up, man? We're back. That's all
Whoa,
I know, bro.
Wow. Yeah, tactical difficulties getting into this thing. We're not getting the traditional what's up, we're back. Let's just hop right into it. Just heard this news. This is Tuesday. I don't know if you heard this yet, but Norm MacDonald passed away today, and sad to hear, 61 years old. I guess he was fighting cancer privately, so sorry to hear that. Prayers out to Norm and his family. Sorry to start the show off with some bad news, but just heard that, and I needed to get that out.
If something is true, it is not sentimental, and I say in truth, I love you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Very funny, Norm. And thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Norm MacDonald, ladies and gentlemen. That was very sweet, Norm.
Oh, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Crazy world, bro. Crazy world. I got to hop around here. My mind is really all over the map.
What's up?
I went to the Ohio State game when I was in Columbus.
I saw that in your feed. Yeah, yeah. How was that, bro?
Got invited by the, you know, they contacted me. Hey, love to have you at the campus and show you the facilities.
Now, were you doing a gig around there?
Yeah, yeah. I was doing a gig 15 minutes from the campus. Now, I went to Northern Illinois University, right? It's a college, but it ain't Big Ten.
Yeah, right. So, I hear you. So, it's insane.
I go meet them. They got a room. Not even a room. It's like the only thing I could compare it to is like a greenhouse. But it's tall. It's like, you know, 30 feet high ceilings, all glass. And this is where all their trophies are and national championship and Heisman's. They got a room. It's not even, it's like a lobby of a hotel.
Oh my God. To house all the trophies.
I mean, I think they won 7 national championships, this team.
Yeah.
And then we start walking through. I gotta tell you, guy, 10 minutes into the tour, I was asking, how do I enroll?
It's an awesome school, right, bro? I bet. They got a McDonald's on campus, right? We had some old lady flipping burgers in the back. And if you didn't get one by 5, they were stale. They just sat there till 8 under that fucking, you know, lamp. McDonald's. I think they got a mall at Ohio State on campus.
They have everything and then some. I was walking through the workout facility is, I mean, top notch, right?
Is that just for the football players or like, just, you know, can anyone go in there and bench next to the quarterback?
No. Football players only, right?
Oh my God, yeah. They got their own gym.
You need a fingerprint to open the door to get into the gym.
Oh. Do you think some of these guys go pro and then they get to like their pro team and they go, what is this shit box? No fingerprinting? No, like it's a step down. Playing for the Jets is probably a step down equipment wise from Ohio State.
But they got an underwater treadmill. They got a
what the?
They got the it's like a hot tub and the floor is a treadmill. So you could walk in the hot tub. I'm like,
oh, I can't believe you don't have that.
Oh God, is this on?
Now, did you meet the coach?
Yeah. So I'm getting.
Oh, bro.
Bro, I gotta tell you.
I'm sorry. I'm yeah. Go ahead.
We're going through. They get 3 square meals a day, right? Then they get what they call like a snack. And like the snack is like Chipotle. Yeah, it's not like a Kit Kat. It's a Jimmy John, whatever the hell it is, Jersey Mike's, whatever the hell it is they give them.
They get whatever they want, right?
They got a In the facility, they got like a snack room, and you can get whatever you want. They got, you know, a little granola bar. They got, but you know what? They eat a lot.
What?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's like it's like feeding big kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got They're 18 years old. They're like 3 years removed from like. Brown bag and lunch, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, man. I bet the people in charge of the budget over there are like, thank God they're not asking for boar's head every day. You know what I'm saying? We go bankrupt. We'd have to sell some of them trophies in the fucking green room.
Oh, man.
Wow, P-Bay is that. They drink a lot of milk. I bet they drink a lot of milk.
They got Gatorade for days over there. I mean, vats of it. Really? You get as much Gatorade as you want over there, man. So... God. I'm going through, and now I meet Coach. And I said, when people see you on campus, do they say to you, "What's up, Coach?" I go, "Is it like a doctor? Like,
yeah,
you have to say, yeah. Coach Day, like if you were a doctor, yeah. Say doctor." He goes, "Yeah, it's always Coach." Coach this, coach that. And I played soccer, but I wasn't, you know, number one, I was in high school. And number two, it's not anywhere near this elite level. Now, these players start coming in. I don't know what the hell's going on, what's in the food.
Right.
I look like Caruso compared to these guys.
I know you do. That's true. Holy shit. Now, listen. Watt is about the biggest human being I've been around ever. Are they all Watts or still a little?
This guy, I think his name is DeJuan Jones, 6'8", 370 pounds. Holy, I think they had to reconstruct the hallways for this guy to get down the hallway.
Oh, my God.
So they're all going into the team meeting.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, "Sebastian, yeah." First thing he says, "I listen to the Pete and Sebastian show." Bro, we've infiltrated one of the top football programs in the country.
Munching peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, listening to the cast. I'd send a T-shirt, but you can only use it as a handkerchief, apparently.
You got to use it as a bandana.
Bro, do you think like that guy you said, the 6'8 guy, if he was seated in a chair with his hand, just all he has is his elbow on the armchair and he can't take it, and you ran full speed, just with his hand, he could tackle you. Just his hand.
Bro, I wouldn't even call it a hand. I'd call it a paw.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
His paw, what do you call it?
Big hoof.
The hoof.
Unbelievable. Specimens. These are athletes top notch.
Unbelievable. I couldn't get over it. I forget the kid's name too. I wish I would remember. Nice guy. God, was he a good cat. So we go out to the football field and we get to see like just the walk around, you know, before the big game. And wow.
It's crazy, man.
They got like a swim building, a gymnastics, you know, like they got a building for every sport, you know, like,
yeah,
like Northern, it just, you know, like there was like multi-purpose, like,
oh God, yeah. Like, I mean, even in college, we had to wait for the volleyball team to finish practice. We'd all be in the corner holding the balls, and the coach would be like, don't bounce the goddamn balls. We're not done with it, you know? It's like, by the way, Division III college, when I tried out freshman year, the coach said we carry 12 guys. Unfortunately, our budget only allows for 9 pair of sneakers. So 3 guys are going to make the team, but they're going to have to buy their own sneakers, right? Ohio State getting Chipotle for a snack. I made the team call my dad going, I got to borrow $60.
I tell you how good Ohio State is. I walked out with a pair of sneakers.
Oh, my God.
They gave me Ohio State Nike sneaker, beautiful shorts. 2 T-shirts, a hat.
So the sneakers are Nike, but they're Ohio State Nike.
Ohio State. The only thing they didn't give me was a scholarship.
Oh my God! Again, my coach took $200 and went up to the Models with everybody's shoe size. They got the. So these are like a collector's item, bro. You got Ohio State sneakers? Wow.
Oh, my God.
Everything but a scholarship.
I do got to tell you. Now, listen. I know college football. You know, I know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's a rival between Michigan State and Ohio State. I've seen documentaries on it, what have you. So yeah. I'm there, and the guy showing us around and like gives me the swag, and I said, thank you. He goes, yeah, you know, just want to give you, you know, because you're wearing a blue sweater. I had a blue sweatshirt on. What the fuck? I didn't know. You know, like, this, I'm on
dark blue?
Yeah, I mean, I could.
Yeah.
I look like what was the quarterback's name? And the blonde Chuck. What was his Michigan? What the hell was his name? I think his number was 16 when we were growing up in the '80s.
On the Michigan college.
Yeah, team? Yeah. Like, oh God, what was his name? Damn it.
Looking up Michigan quarterbacks from the '80s and nineties. It's either Steve Smith, who had blonde hair, or Demetrius Brown, who was black.
Did he go to the Raiders? Not Jim Plunkett.
No.
All right. I tell you, man, but yeah, they probably thought, look at him blue. He just met with Harbaugh, right? So that's the coach of the other team, right? That psycho guy who gets really intense.
Yeah,
not psycho.
Yeah,
guy,
yeah, Jim Harbaugh. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. What a rivalry, bro. Yeah. And you were wearing, you were hanging out with the Americans, but wearing the red coat for the British. They're like, listen.
So it was great. We go do the show next day. Oh, they invited us to the game. Now, like, when you leave, I said, 3:30. Well, the game's at 12. Why don't you come by? It's 110,000 people, right?
My God. Yeah.
So we go. They got tailgating. And listen, I'm not a tailgate guy. But I think the last time I was at tailgating was back when I was in school, 95. Yeah. They got, like, trucks tricked out just for tailgating. It's like a Sprinter. You open up the back. There's, like, a 70-inch TV back there. They got tents. They got generator. They got generators bigger than the ones I got at the house, right?
Yeah.
To run all.
They look. I've seen that. I mean, the Bills. The people in my neighborhood, they got trucks, just for the home games for the Bills. The truck is just for like a van, just for six games and maybe the playoffs. The tick going into the stadium is like a hassle. Right? They're like, oh, fuck. All right, let's go watch this shit for a little while.
I don't even think people go in. They just hang out in the parking lot.
My God, what a party, right? Oh. Everyone just walking around, hanging out.
It's great. Don't get me wrong, but I got to tell you, being around like drunk college kids when you're 50, it's a whole different game, right?
Oh, yeah.
The level of volume, because they got a thing that they do where someone... I'm going to take a piss. I'm in the stadium, right? I'm going to take a piss. By the way, I'm not into pissing in a fucking trough. I go, all right.
I hear what you're saying, but you got to admit, you can line up a lot of fellas a lot faster with those things, man. I appreciate the efficiency.
The efficiency, I'll give it to you. But this is my problem, right? First and foremost, I need a divider.
You're 50. Of course. I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
And
a little something, right? A little something separate me.
Yeah.
Just, I'm with you.
So, and the piss, it don't flush. You're pissing on piss, you know? It's not water.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's about 283 pisses before you. That's what you're on top of, right?
There is so much piss hitting that thing nonstop that it's no need to flush. It's like the pipes can barely hold all the piss coming down, right? I'm serious. Just to go to a Knick game, you'd see a guy in front of you flush. What was that for, guy? I mean, I'm right behind you. Just keep the stream going. So. Oh, yeah. What are you doing? Yeah, this is like not your environment. Guys.
No, not at all. And another thing. They come into the piss dick out already. You know, like, they... Yeah, I get up there like it's a batter's box, and then I start swinging, right?
You're like the old lady with the checkbook at the supermarket, right? How much? And then you reach into your bag, lady, get your fucking thing out ahead of time. I hear you.
They're coming in with it out from the door, you know?
Some of them barely make it. I'm telling you.
Oh my God. And they come out, and you know, it's one of these environments where, like, a guy will walk in, start screaming, OH! And then the whole bathroom, IO! I'm pissing! You know?
Bro, don't they know that you're a skybox guy at this point? What's the fucking skybox? What am I doing down here with the, you know, the everyday? I don't know how else to put it. I mean,
oh, God.
I mean, wasn't there a skybox who was up there?
And here's another thing with these stadiums. I don't know how many times I go to a stadium or what have you. You go wash your hands and you go for the towel and they're gone. Now, when you got 110,000 people, bring in backup on the towels. There's no, everybody's doing this. You have it. Everybody's flicking the thing. It's like, and they don't care. Or they wipe it all over their shirt, you know?
Oh, yeah. They go home dirtier than some of the players.
That's all you see in the stadium is just like acne and alcohol. It's just...
See, you and I, if I ever walked into a stadium that had 110,000 people, I would look at my wife and go, we are leaving at halftime. All right? I am not fighting this city getting out of here. This is literally, evacuating Milwaukee. That's where the end of an Ohio State game is. Right, bro? Jesus.
Oh, God. So.
Unbelievable experience, man.
Here's another thing, man, and I got to tell you. No seats. It's benches. It's like steel bench, right? So literally your seat is like 26 on a bench. So what people do is they bring in like portable seats that they attach to the bench. You know, they're like veterans on this. This is why I don't like going to games. I'm sorry.
All right.
This happens to me every time I go to a game. Someone's in my seat. I don't know how this happens. So I got to get the phone out.
You got great seats and you're not there yet. That's how it happens.
They hooked us up.
No one was ever in your seat and said sorry and then went closer to the stage.
And they're always walking back up the stairs.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get to the seat and I go, here we go. So now, and we're sitting with the recruits. That's how good the seats are. We're 35-yard line, I'd say row 10. So we're right there. We're with the people that are considering with their parents going to the school, you know?
That is fascinating. I mean, not only is the kid sitting here thinking, do I go to this school? This is unbelievable. Oh my God. Is that Sebastian Maniscalco?
There was none of that.
I don't know, but
they were looking at me going, I wonder whose father that is.
They must be recruiting an Italian kicker
out of Milan.
Oh God. Bro, your son could never play football just because I've already seen photos of him. It would be a sin to put a helmet on that hair.
Well,
a sin, guys.
Let me echo that statement. It's a sin that this kid's got to wear a mask to school because it's taken away half of his stunningness.
It's probably giving him a little more chance to focus on studies without the girls gawking. No. I'm looking at your kid. I'm telling you, man. He's going to be thinking about – he's going to hit you by about 10, 11 years old saying, I want to be in movies. Can you help me with that? Because if not, I'm going to make some other phone calls. He's got a good look, man.
No, thanks. He is a looker. But here's the big thing, and I got to get to the bottom of this. We get the seats. We rearrange the seats. They tell us, could you sit over here? Because the seats were separated. Like half of the family was sitting. Then it would be myself and my buddy Pat came with me. And then it would be the other family. So we just switched out. Well, when we switched out, the other two guys come and they go, you're in our seats. Now, do you ever get, like, you ever switch out the seat, right, on a suggestion from the people? And now you're sitting in somebody else's seat because they were sitting in somebody else's seat. So you want to – I'm trying to tell the guy, it ain't me, man. I didn't do it. I was in the right seat. They moved me.
Right. So, exactly. So exactly.
They sit down. The Spangled Banner starts to play, right?
What?
I'm sitting there. And one of these B-12s, like this comes over the stadium. It was like a Tesla. You couldn't even hear the damn thing. It was eerie. It just came right over the stadium. Beautiful. Big.
Whoa. That's a jet?
Yeah. Like a
silent? Like what? Like a stealth one?
Yeah. Like from the...
Like
from...
if I was in another country... And I'm sipping a cappuccino outside with a friend, not expecting an invasion from the U.S. How close would that thing be to me before I go, what the fuck is that?
Right over your head.
Oh, man, that's American technology.
Bro, I'm telling you, I don't know why I don't. I don't know why the United States, when they're discussing other things with other countries, and they go, and the United States goes, "What did you say?" And and the country goes, "We're not removing our rebels from the area." Okay. And in an hour, just have the thing just fly literally right over their head. I don't see how you go call back on whatever you need.
Exactly. Right? I mean, it's, I it's unbelievable what we can do. It's like unbelievable. I mean, not only that, yeah, go ahead.
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. How much does Ohio State, does Ohio State call the United States military and go, "How much for a stealth bomber to come over the stadium while we're singing the Star Spangled Banner?" Or is that a comp? What is that?
I gotta think that there's so many people that have gone on to so many successes that graduated from Ohio State. I feel like
they got
the colonel calls up the president. It's like, "Listen, I can get a stealth bomber right before the game. Well, thank you for everything, man. I loved my time there. You want that? Well, is it going to make a lot of noise? We'll put the muffler on. You fucking won't even know."
So, my question is,
yeah,
if you're having a party in your backyard and you got enough money, could you call the military and go, "You know, at about 5 o'clock, could you send over a stealth bomber right over the yard?"
Oh my God! Oh no!
Is that available to the general public? Like, Ohio State is a college, so why are they getting that privilege, that privileged airspace? I gotta find this out, bro.
I don't know, man. That's fascinating. You got me wondering now, like, can you, like, call the government and be like, "I want to hire for my party a helicopter to come landing in, couple soldiers to get out in the backyard, have a hot dog, mingle, tell us a little bit about the military, and then fly back out. I'll pay $5 million for that." Right. I don't even know what that is. Like, what is a Black Hawk? I was going to say, that's a Black Hawk down. They'd be like, "Guy, a Black Hawk helicopter, what do they cost? Like, billions, right?"
Yeah, I don't know what these things cost. I know that thing got to cost $500 million that they had up in the air. But NFL does it, too. They have, like, fighter jets come over to stadium. That's a business. That's like, I got to find out.
Maybe they do it for free because they're, like, enough kids. They're all in college. You got 65,000, you know, maybe you got half of them, 35,000, 100,000 people, right? So maybe you got 50,000 young men sitting there going, "What am I going to do after college with my life? What the fuck is that? I want to fly one of those."
You think it's a commercial for recruiting?
It may as well have a sign on the back saying Eden Joe's, right? Yeah, that's exactly what I think it is.
Oh, man, bro.
I'm surprised that the guys getting recruited for Ohio State don't look up and say, "Dad, start the car. I'm going to the Navy or the Air Force. I'm going to West." By the way, you're a recruit for Ohio State. You're sitting there, and you're telling me that a stealth bomber is flying overhead. Don't you want to look over at the kid and go, what more do you need to see before you just say yes? I mean, maybe the kid will look at you and go, "Guy, have you gone to a Notre Dame game yet?"
They do a simulation of a terrorist. What?
they say if you get to run out through that tunnel in Notre Dame, it takes 3 years off your life. They've done studies on it.
Oh man, God. I gotta tell you, last time I was at a game was probably 1981 Soldier Field in the end zone in December, freezing my ass off. This was much, much better experience. And I gotta tell you, just like you, watching the game. And I had a flight to make, but, you know, I told Pat, my buddy, I go, about 5.5 minutes left in the first half, I go, "We're taking off at halftime." He goes, "Yeah, no problem." And then I even timed it where it was like a minute left. I go, nothing's going to happen. Let's go. And I got to tell you, that's the way to do it. Halftime, you exit. Nobody in and out. You don't got no line, no bum rush to the gate. Fuck it.
Fuck you. I mean, you only saw half the game, guys.
Yeah, I know. I know. But
it's like, you know, best time to leave a movie theater is about there, right around Act 3 is kicking in. Start the car, baby. But I love your move. I would have even done your extra move where you're sitting there waiting for halftime. You look around, there's 110,000 people. You're like, if 10,000 of these people think like me, that's still going to be too crowded. I'm going to one-up them and leave now.
Oh, God.
It feels, I don't care how unbelievable that game is, which I can see on SportsCenter. Nothing feels better than driving past hundreds and thousands of parked cars and shit. Go, look at all this shit I'm avoiding. Oh, God. It feels so good, doesn't
it? Oh, my God. Well, that's the whole thing when you turn 50, right? You need a stall and you leave at halftime. That's basically, if you get anything out of this story. That's the two main topics here, but
right, if you can tack on a private jet to the end of that, you'll be home to see the end of the game. I told you when I went with those friend of ours from that NASCAR race in Charlotte on their private jet, they dropped us off at the airport. Oh my God, that was unbelievable, man. Just gone, boom.
Well, the funny thing is, we took the car right from the game to the airport, got on the plane just in time for the second half kickoff on the plane.
Oh my God! If someone looked over at me and said, "You're leaving the stadium. Where could you possibly be going?" I'm watching it on a private jet. Oh yeah, no, I'd rather do that too.
If you look up at the beginning of the second half, you'll see the plane coming over the stadium.
Yeah, you got the stealth bomber at the beginning, and you got Maniscalco jet at halftime.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
The Pete and Sebastian Show.
I know you got that. You mentioned it on the cast, right? Yeah, you mentioned it on the cast, didn't you?
What?
The jet.
Yeah.
So, like, etiquette-wise, when you go... whenever you're going to film to start filming the movie, when you get to the location, if De Niro's plane is landing at the same time as yours, do you tell your pilot, listen, just fucking hit the brakes? I don't want to get off at the same time as him. I'd rather not see him till later in the day. Have you guys been chatting now about the characters? You mind me asking? I mean, I know you can't give away too much.
He just wanted to see my dad the way he cuts hair videos, because there's a scene in there where he's cutting hair. This guy wanted to like see the technique of how my dad cuts hair. So yeah, there's been minimal discussion with him. I feel like once I get to Alabama and I start like hanging out with, you know, I think we're gonna go out to dinner with the cast and what have you, so we'll find out a little bit more about what's going on. I mean, bro, I'm gonna have 7 weeks of stories here, so
my goodness, man. It's gonna be awesome, man. Are you doing shows in between?
No, I got one weekend in Connecticut, that's it. That's all the shows I have. I just want to focus on the movie. You know what? I have a hard time memorizing lines. Do you have a problem with this?
Yeah, I definitely do, man. I get so excited. Like, well, we've talked about that kind of stuff, but like when I get through a scene, I'm not like thinking, oh, I nailed that or not. I'm just like, ooh, I remembered all the lines. Nice.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
So yeah, I'm a little concerned going into this just because there's a lot of pressure. I feel like there's a lot of pressure. You know, I've been pining over this for the last 3 months, but I got to change. I think I've changed my attitude on Monday. You know, it's funny. I was telling my dad, you know, hey, you know, I'm just a lot of pressure and I hope I do good, this, that, and the other thing. You know, you can't really call your parents for sympathy at all. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling him this. He goes, you better get your fucking head in the game. Okay? Yep. This guy, you got this guy, your name on it. Forget it.
We all know what you're doing. We've all done that kind of move where you're just like throwing out, dangling, like, is it okay to maybe not do it great? And everyone's saying, no, it's not okay. It has to be great.
Oh, shit.
And it will, man. Oh, that's so funny, though. God. Yeah, that's just nerves, bro.
Yeah, I got some nerves.
As far as you committing on that level, I'm not ready to reveal it yet, but this is more for the listeners. I'm deep into a biography about a very incredibly famous person who's no longer alive, and I'm not ready to reveal it yet, but, bro, the personality similarities between this guy and you are like, it's like I'm reading your bio. It's unbelievable.
Why aren't we giving the name?
Because I'm still putting them all together. I've been writing a list as I go along. At first, I was highlighting them, and I'm like, I ain't doing it. I'm writing a list. I'm up to nine definitive personality traits of you this guy had, and I'm like...
You can't bring this up, and we can't discuss it now.
Oh, I thought it would be a good thing to dangle for the listeners to send guesses, no? All right, you know.
Dangle.
All right.
We need we need content.
Content, bro. We just did 20 minutes on, no, I don't even remember it. I was dying laughing.
What's the deal?
Bro. George Washington.
This is the last person I thought you'd say.
Me, that's the last person I thought. I'm reading this thing. I kept coming into Jackie going, Jack, everything about this guy is like exactly like Spanish. I mean, first of all, big old George was number one, okay, kept very guarded. I mean, they have quotes from Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson saying in a room full of people, he would only say what was necessary within the conversation. You never totally knew where you stood. Of course he was always nice, but they said, and then when you're in his inner circle is when he really lets loose and jokes more on a private level, but it's really, really difficult to be a part of his inner circle. And when you get there, like, people have made notes, like they have notes from Ben Franklin saying, I'm in there now, and like that kind of shit. All right. So, but as nice as he was and as fair as he was, when he did not keep an even keel, they said his temper was legendary. Legendary, right? Like, hover for shelter, kinda, you know?
All right? Fuck you!
Constantly, and this was a big start of the war, he would constantly, he had a lot of money and a lot of land, and he never was in England. He was born in America, but he respected England and the king and all that, and he wanted to be like an English gentleman, so he was constantly getting clothes. He'd send measurements to a tailor in London, and they would send him back the finest clothes, and he always looked nice, and he completely judged people based on what they were wearing. Isn't that great? And then last night I read this one and I'm like, this is insane. Him and Martha were a great fit, they said. You know, they had this beautiful home they loved. But George loved to throw parties and he would often go to parties and he would take notes from other people's parties about what he liked and what he didn't like. And I swear to God. And this one right here, he's saying that they all drank stale beer, and I'll forget what else he called it, but he was making fun of the party. Yeah, so he always wanted to be known for throwing the best parties. Yeah. And it goes on and on. Oh, I mean, I'm still compiling them, bro. But, you know, greatness thinks alike, right? I mean, George Washington?
Man, I'm blown away that this guy. I love the party deal. I mean,
huge legs that would wrap around the horse. And horses were smaller back then. So he could get his entire tree trunk legs around the horse. And they said nobody could ride like George. Bro, you got them soccer legs, dude. You got to get a DNA test.
How tall? Did they say how tall this guy was?
Yeah, well, some of them have him as high as 6'2". But I'm tinkering with my mic. I'm not supposed to have him as high as 6'2". But from exact records, because he would constantly send his exact measurements to the tailor in London, we know he was exactly 6 foot. Wow. Not an inch taller, man. Yeah. Never wore a wig like they often think, ever. But blasted his hair with a lot of powder, which was the thing of the day, you know?
Wow. I mean,
yeah. Fascinating.
You know his birth date? What chance?
I did, but I forgot it. I don't really think that was important.
His birthday is February 22nd. It's called President's Day, Guy.
Definitely had some bad qualities, you know? Slaves.
Slaves.
Jeez. Yeah. Fuck. Right away you hear that and you're like, eh. I literally, I'm reading this beside from that, which is horrible, a couple times. And not those things, but in the book, what's interesting is he's like in the middle of the French and Indian War, and he keeps complaining to his the head guy about, we're not getting paid enough, the American soldiers. We're not getting paid what the British soldiers are, and we're not getting the same title. And then if he didn't get his way, he would go to a higher up and say, that guy's not doing... I literally came out to Jackie the other day, and I'm like, man, I think George Washington might have been a bit of a dick. So I hope it makes a hard turn. But I don't like this.
You don't like this guy.
Nah, the way he's climbing to the top is kind of wormy, man. You know what I mean? He always makes it seem like, and these aren't trades of yours, obviously, but he always makes it seem like, you know, like in his diary, he'd write, if we go to war with the blah, 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 they'll ask me to be in charge. And then they would all have a meeting, should we go to war with them? And George would be like, well, I mean, I don't know if we should or shouldn't, but we should defend ourselves. Like, he'd always make it seem like he was the in-between even guy, but deep down, you really wanted to go to war. And then you do that, okay, I'll lead us. But then your diary says that was the plan the whole time. You calculated powdered hair fucking, you know? I could have been a social studies teacher.
Oh, man. I would sign up for that class twice a year.
Oh, my God. I take everyone outside and we all do a hit before we go.
I would just love your interpretation of the text to the class. Hey, guys, I want you to open up to page 431. This is where George really becomes a fucking asshole.
And it's great because they all kept diaries. So then they would refer to, like, Thomas Jefferson's diary saying that George was being a dick, you know, at the thing. So that's how they wrote a lot. A lot. Holy shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man. So there you go.
What's the book called?
I think it's called Washington. It's like a Pulitzer Prize winner. It's 890 pages, man. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what I'm up to, like 150. Small print, too. So I wanted to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
Let me get back to. I was driving to my mom's the other day, and long story short, I witnessed a road rage incident. A guy was coming down with his girlfriend, I could tell, to get on the ramp. And you know, when they're merging, the other person usually slows down to let you in. Well, it was two young girls and they decided to speed up. And then the guy sped up and each one was like, who's going to slow down? And they didn't. So the guy at the end had to hit his brakes and then get in behind them. And then he was really pissed. You know, he's riding them. And then he's like going up next to them and you see his hand like this and they kind of speed up. And I'm like just kind of staying right behind it. Just, you know, don't want to get involved. And then he speeds up right next to her. They roll down the window and they whip a soda, full soda freaking can, smashed into the window. Doesn't break the window, but then the soda kind of smashes and starts fizzing everywhere. And then like they kind of drove off, right? Now, luckily, obviously, the girls didn't crash or anything. My question to you is this, because I was thinking about this afterwards. If they crashed and that guy drove off, and then I called the cops and they wanted a description, are you good at that? Seeing something happen in a deli, and then would you be able to give a good description to the cop about everything that you saw?
My description of the incident, I would like to think, would be 75% accurate.
Wow. Like, do you know cars? Like, I'd say it was a small white car, and then they'd start saying brands. I'd be like, hey, brands? Seriously? I mean, there's a dude in there with a goatee. There's like an A in the license plate. That ain't enough? Shit, you got stealth bombers flying over football games, and that ain't enough?
Well,
yeah, but I was thinking about that.
I size up the cars right away if I see something that's going on. I'll just like right away my Mazda 626, whatever. I just see the car first.
Oh, wow.
Because let's say that guy that sped past me, and I go, look at this guy. And Lana go, what? I said, the guy in the Trans Am. You're going to see him. Like, so like right away, that the car is in my head. The license plate, probably not. I don't look at that. The description of the guy, depending on where I am, how well I see him, I think I could get it about 75%.
Well, it's like, it's interesting. Like, if you literally could look at a guy for a half hour, stare at him for a half hour, then he leaves the room, then a police sketch artist comes right in the other door, yeah. And she never had seen that guy. And you got to describe that guy to that sketch artist. When she sketches it, do you think you look at him and be like, oh, yeah, except for the name, you nailed it, honey.
Yeah, I've often wondered that if a sketch artist was sketching my description of a perpetrator and then I saw the perpetrator, or I saw the perpetrator, then I gave the description, and then they said, this is the guy, and I'd go, fuck, he had a beard?
That's what I'm saying, bro. That's exactly. Shit. I mean, this guy, I'm looking at him and I'm like thinking he's Spanish, but for all I know, he's Italian and maybe he's playing Sinatra. He had the window up. I don't even know. Yeah. But, you know, I'm almost better. I would go to the cop. Listen, it's not even worth it. what I could give you is not even worth it. It was like, you know? You see those TV shows, and they're like, about 6'1", I'd say about 175, had a little dangling, what the
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
had a hat on that said, O'Malley Construction. Yeah, forget it.
I've hung out with people for 6-7 hours before I finally noticed that T-shirt says something. I'm like, oh, shit, I've been there.
Oh, shit. Holy so, Christ.
What do you got, bro? You got any more that, stories? I mean, any... Oh, by the way, I saw you were on one of them late night shows. You just do so much stuff now, you don't even mention it anymore.
Yeah, no, I did Kimmel promoting the Discovery Plus show, and yeah, it was good. It was good to finally do some press out, you know, instead of on a Zoom or what have you. So it was in studio, half full, you know, half audience, masked, the whole thing. So yeah, I did that, and then, what the hell else did I do? Oh yeah, I went to Ohio, went to Las Vegas for a corporate gig last week, and, that's it, man. That's all I got.
Well, I gotta ask you, what was the big anniversary surprise? I saw some photos from what looked like the Godfather house, but I don't know what, remember you said you'll let us know? Once in a lifetime opportunity.
I gotta wait to talk about it.
Oh, all right.
Tell us
a story. Tell us a story.
Yes, tell us a story.
Tell us a funny little story.
It's a good story though. It's a good story.
All right.
What a jip.
All right. that.
All right, I got to get out of here, my friend.
I know.
We will be back next week. Pete and Sebastian Show. Thanks for listening in. And Pete, you going to be anywhere performing this
week? I'm playing the Trough, the 25th of September in Buffalo. And then the following October 2nd, I'll be in Portland at the Alberta Rose Theater. Go to PeteCorielli.com for all my dates.
There you have it. We will see you guys next week.
Good hanging, bro.
The show has ended.
Definitely had some bad qualities, you know? Slaves.
Slaves.
Jeez. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Bill Cosby, first of all, is my, you know, he's my hero ever since I was a kid, because I always wanted to be like him, and I got his albums, tried to emulate him, and but I didn't like his stand-up, but I like the way he was as a man. Because this was before they didn't say he was a rapist on the fucking liner notes of the albums, you know. That's my buddy said. He said, the worst part about Cosby was he was a hypocrite. And I said, I don't think that was the worst part. To me, the worst part was the raping. Way up high. And then the second would be the drugging. And then the third would be the scheming. But anyways, hypocrisy would be way fucking down the line, you know.